As we all know, money and politics are closely related. People who support winning candidates expect something in return. Sadly, the same can be true in churches. Heavy contributors are often the heavy decision makers. This may have played a part in the motivations of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Turn with us to Acts chapter 5. Erwin Lutzer is teaching us that when God is first, He owns our reputations, and why financial giving should be secret.
There are two reasons why we have giving here as a secret. First, for your benefit. For your benefit. We want to minimize the possibility that we have people like Ananias and Sapphira who give to be recognized, who give to be noticed, who give because they secretly hope it will lead to a higher office in the church. And so what we do is we say, thank you for your gift, but we do not know that gift, and what you give is known to one or two people responsible for the accounting and to God. There's a second reason why we do it. Not only for your benefit, but for our benefit as a staff, because we don't want to treat you differently based on your giving pattern. Now, that's the church policy, and it is held to. Now, the downside, of course, is people who don't give anything absolutely love that policy. They love it. As I mentioned last week, it may come as a bit of a shock and most assuredly a disappointment to know that there are hundreds of people who attend Moody Church every Sunday, members, not dozens, but hundreds, who give nothing, nothing at all, year by year. And these people bless them. When we hear about what God is doing over at Kids Club, they clap just as loudly as the people sitting next to them. Now, we don't know who they are, but I'm sure that they clap just as loudly, even though they've not given a dime to the ministry, they've not given to missions, they've not given to the opportunities that God has given us here, and yet they are pretending that they're on board and they're rejoicing with everyone else. See, the problem with that is not just because we need the money, though as I mentioned last time, it'd be good to have more, and we think of what we could do, but that's not really the issue. They are cutting out the possibility of God rewarding them openly. You remember Jesus said, let your giving be in secret, and your Father will reward you openly. Give God that privilege. I love to tell the story about my wife and I being at Ravinia. I don't know how many of you have been there, but it's lovely music, and you buy a ticket and you get into the grounds, and then if you buy a more expensive ticket, you actually get into the band shell there, and they have orchestra where you can hear Strauss and Mozart and all of those other wonderful composers. Well, my wife and I, we don't get into the band shell, but we with hundreds of other people sometimes have taken a picnic lunch back there in the evening, and then you just sit out in the grass and you can hear the concert. I remember doing that one year. And next to us, there was a man who was lying down during the concert, and he fell asleep and he began to snore. He snored so loudly, I had a mind to move, but then I thought, no, I'll put up with this, even though he's interfering with Schubert, I think was the number. And then when it was all over and we all stood up, even on the grass, to give a standing ovation, he stood up and he clapped just as hard as the rest of us. Now there are believers like that. Yes, yes, we're clapping. Yes, we clap just as hard. But we're asleep for God, and we're asleep at the switch. Ananias and Sapphira answer the question of what do we give and to whom do we give it? There was a minister who was taking an offering for missions and said, I want you to give this offering tonight, and I want you to visualize that you are actually placing it into the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. And a woman who was there took out her $5 bill, which she was going to give, and then put it back, pulled out a 50 instead, and said, "If I'm giving it to the nail-pierced hand of Jesus, how can I let the offering plate go by giving so little?" The first lesson that Ananias and Sapphira teach us is the lesson of motivation, proper, single-minded motivation. We give to God, and we do give to the nail-pierced hand of Jesus. There's a second lesson very quickly, and that is the law of mutual influence, or corporate influence, or mutual influence. That is to say, why did God take this sin so seriously? It is because this was going to be something like leaven within the lump. The Bible says that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. I already spoke about how their witness and their ministry would have on it this deceit. And as a result of that, as people found out about it, people would begin to think it would be safe to sin. And so God says, what I want to do is to show you that you have sinned before God, but you've also sinned against the body. And we are all connected. You see, your spiritual life and my spiritual life, we're all connected with one another. When you're hot for God, it makes me a little hotter for God. When you're cold for God, it makes me a little colder. We are members of one another. And some of you, God bless you. You've been attending Moody Church for a long time and you've never become a member. Sometimes I hear people say, "Well, you know, I belong to the invisible church." The invisible church. Well, I have some news for you. I do believe that there is a church of the elect that are in various churches and congregations who truly do belong to God. But I need to inform you the fact that so far the invisible church has not sent a missionary team to Osiri in southern Africa. The invisible church has never sent tutors to Cabrini Green. The invisible church, last time I checked, never visited anyone in the hospital. This invisible church doesn't do much. Everything that we have done here is a part of the very visible local congregation. And I'm pleading to you for your involvement, for your prayers, for your giftedness that is necessary here at the church, because we're all connected, and God says a little bit of sin over here is going to affect the entire church. I hope I'm not speaking too harshly. I'm always concerned about that. And then on the other hand, I say, well, you know, sometimes we have to be clearer than we'd need to be. There are some people who are more devoted to their bowling league than they are the church. There are some people who are much more devoted to be on work on time than they are to be to church on time. Or it would take them much more to keep them away from work than it would keep them from being away from church. And so I ask you today, you're a part of the body. You're important to the whole. Don't think to yourself that your walk with God does not affect everyone else. God says this couple, this deceitful couple, would affect everyone else. And so does your deceit affect everyone else, or my deceit affect everyone else. It's the law of mutual influence. Let's go to a third. The law of final accountability. What a story. You do know it, don't you? Notice what the text says. When Ananias heard this, that is when he heard Peter speak, he fell down and died. Ugh. And great fear seized all who heard what had happened. I guess so. Then young men came forward and wrapped his body and carried him out and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, "Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?" You see, he was mentioning the price that they gave to the apostles. And she said, yes, lied, direct lie. This was a great chance for her to say, "No, we lied," but she didn't. She said, yes, that's the price. Peter said to her, how could you agree to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of the young men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. At that moment, she fell down dead at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. Don't you at this point just want to say, wow? Were these people Christians? Of course I think they were. I think that the fact that they sinned against the Holy Spirit. Now, the church was walking in the energy of the Spirit. They were constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. Here's somebody who lies against the Holy Spirit. So I think they were Christians. I think they arrived in heaven. I think we shall see them someday. Can't you just imagine, oh, Ananias and Sapphira, see, you're the ones. Yeah, you know, I preached about you one time. Sapphira, where were you during that three-hour period? Could it be that you were shopping at the mall with the money that you had, Sapphira? I'm sure that in heaven we won't be talking about those things, but there they are. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, why did God judge them like this so severely? I mean, isn't this overkill?
Well, yes, my friend, I guess you could call it overkill. This is Pastor Lutzer, and my message is on Ananias and Sapphira, whom God so severely judged that he took their lives because of their disobedience. I shouldn't say disobedience, really, but dishonesty and lying about how much they gave to the church. And God wanted to say right from the beginning of the church that holiness is important. And when the church got started there in the book of Acts, God had some phenomenal things take place. I mean, there were not only miracles, there was, of course, the miracle of tongues that we spoke about a few weeks ago, but here also we see that they are struck down by God. God wanted to say that holiness is important to him. Now, someone has suggested that if God were to do this today, churches might have to have morgues in their basement. Because isn't it true that we live with a lot of hypocrisy, perhaps in our own hearts, and there are others who even perhaps in a more so way want to give the impression that they are more spiritual than they are? The bottom line is simply this, my friend, today. What we need to do is to say, God, we give you our reputations. Whether we are well thought of or not, whether we get credit for what we've done or not, whether the rest of the church honors us because of our generosity or because of our commitment or not, let us serve you. Let us give to you. Let us worship. Let us serve you. And let us be content with your approval. I pray that for myself as a pastor. Many people know about our ministry, but at the end of the day, there's only one opinion that really matters, and that is what Jesus thinks. And as a result of knowing that what Jesus thinks is important, we can go on without necessarily looking for all of the bouquets thrown in our direction, because pleasing him is our fervent determination.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Dr. Erwin Lutzer has wrapped up part two of He Owns Our Reputation, the fifth message in his series, When God Is First, taken from the book of Acts. Tomorrow, more about the law of final accountability. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. The eight messages in this series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Is First when you call. Take time to visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. So what's your financial reputation? Join us tomorrow for our next edition of Running to Win.